Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you speak to each of us today concerning your desire to work in our lives. And I ask that you would take the words that I speak and empower them by your Spirit so that they would speak to each of us individually, and that I just can be the vessel up here with the words. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in a series on the game of life, and we will come back to it after Easter. But I wanted to talk about Jesus last weekend. Today I want to look at spring cleaning, because spring cleaning is, well, it's the first day of spring, and Jesus came and he cleaned up things too. He used more than a broom. He used a whip of cords, but we'll just listen to what he has to say. I want to look at the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem at the time of spring cleaning as he cleansed the temple. 2,000 years ago, Jesus cleansed the temple, which was the house of the Lord. It had been corrupted and polluted by people taking advantage of the faith of the people of God, and it was there that a divine spring cleaning took place. Spring cleaning is a time when you go through the house and you clean it out from junk that may have accumulated over the past year or so. Maybe sometimes it's years. Spring cleaning is something that almost every household does at times, one time or another. What we do during this period of cleaning is we throw away anything that isn't useful or needed anymore, and we also throw away a lot of junk that has that clutters up our houses and our lives, you might say. Well, that day that started Holy Week, and this is the beginning of Holy Week, was the day that Jesus came into the temple and he did a little spring cleaning at the temple. He threw out the money changers. As we look at this spring cleaning episode, we need to see the application for our own lives. Jesus has come to afflict the comfortable. He comes and he wants to purge anything out of us where we are indulging ourselves, or maybe our own convenience, or wherever we are giving place to the world in terms of our lives. He wants to throw out the junk in our lives. We may not even recognize that it's junk, but we let it go on in our lives. And Jesus comes, and he comes at the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, which is today, but it's really the second time that he does it. I would like you to read with me John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, and actually this is the first time Jesus went to the temple and cleansed the temple. He did it twice. At the beginning of his ministry and then at the end of his ministry before he went to the cross. This passage in John is the first cleansing of the temple. And once again, it took place at spring time. Let's read it together. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers at their business. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all with the sheep and oxen out of the temple. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. You shall not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for thy house will consume me." This took place at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Here in John, it happened 3 years earlier than this next passage, which is in Matthew chapter 21. The first one was when Jesus came providing a season of opportunity. There is a time that we are given to clean up our act. And so the first time he entered the picture, he was actually giving the people a chance to change themselves and become more in tune with the worship of God. The second time is a different time. There's a time for the entry of the king, and there's a time that takes place later. Matthew is 3 years later, and Jesus comes back, and this time it's not a season of opportunity, but it is a season of accountability. and let's read it together. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple of God and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The second time that it comes is a season of accountability. I'm kind of thinking, I always think about these money changers. He said, "Oh God, here he comes again." I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but he's coming back. Get out of the way. Most devastating fact about the second entry is that no one present knew, though, that this was the last time. This was their last chance. And I never know about who's here on any given Sunday, but for somebody here today, this may be a day of opportunity. This may be a time when God is talking to you through me. Maybe the message is coming to give you a chance to clean up your act. But for somebody here today, it may be a day of accountability. This is your chance. And this is it. There's something about the Lord's approach to us that brings to us to light a stark and glaring truth at times, and it is this truth. In Jesus' approach to us as he seeks to deal with the issues of our lives, as he seeks to drive out that which rips us off and that which we fall prey to just to suit our own convenience, there comes a time when it's no longer opportunity. But it's accountability. And Jesus comes and he says, "It's not that I don't love you anymore. It's just simply that I'm not going to bother to insist on being Lord of your life anymore if you do not take it this time." And as we look at this story of the spring cleaning of the temple, as Jesus comes into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday day, it may help us to understand ourselves as we think about our own lives in terms of those things that have cluttered up our house. And I am talking about our spiritual house, the temple of the Lord, which is you. You are the temple, by the way. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 together. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and that temple you are." And that temple you are. Sometimes the Lord comes, like the picture we have here in Scripture, and he takes a whip of cords, you might say, and he drives the things out that detract from the holiness that is you. Jesus comes, he cleanses the temple of God, which you are. He comes and afflicts the comfortable. What habits have crept into your life over the past year, maybe for a number of years? What things are you doing right now in terms of your life that you have unconsciously fallen into? What has become a trap for you? What things in your life have become something that detracts from the beauty that is you? You know, we rarely seem to understand or recognize this truth. The thief of life will steal your life if you're not careful. And if not one way, then he'll come and get it another way. And our lives are like that. Moment by moment, decision by decision, we make choices. And things build up or things get eroded in terms of our lives. And there may be somebody in this congregation that is overworking themselves. You may die at the ripe old age of 57 because of that overwork. There might be somebody here who is going to drink themselves to death and die at a ripe old age of 53. I don't know. There may be somebody here who is in the process of losing their spouse. destroying their children. There may be somebody here and you have let your spiritual life slowly be eroded week by week, Sunday by Sunday, moment by moment, decision by decision, here a little, there a little, and pretty soon it adds up to an eroded life. I point these things out to you because we're dealing with the things of life here, but the things of this life are always connected to our spiritual life as well. There's a great warning that comes to us in this passage, and that is that the spirit of this world will steal not only your physical life, but the world and Satan will steal your spiritual life as well. There's probably somebody here, in fact, I know it, actually. By the way, I take tours in people's lives. And that would be you. And you're in the process of sliding away from God. Moment by moment, decision by decision, here a little, there a little. You know, the workaholic can be driven to death, but not by ambition, but just by a sense of obligation. A person who has never learned the discipline of pacing themselves and heart disease develops because he burns his body up. When Jesus comes into the temple in Jerusalem, let us all be wise enough to understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus comes to scrutinize our bodies, but that is not all he does. He doesn't just come to look at the habits and touch our bodies, but also attitudes, things that affect our souls as well as our spirits. There are people and possibly somebody here, and you have poisoned your life because of your attitudes. Anger and hate, despair, cynicism, sarcasm, bitterness, resentment, and especially unforgiveness. Boy, I run into that one. And it can ruin your life. Thought patterns that invade our minds, which become points of dependency, which are worshipped in the temples of our lives. And instead of a temple that is pure and given over to the worship of the Lord, what we do is we corrupt everything that is us with our attitudes at the door of the temple of our lives. Check yourself out. Or better yet, let Jesus come into your temple and check it out. What things motivate you? How are your relationships? Husband, wife, children, friends. What does it take to entertain you? What's the price? What's ripping you off? At what points are you indulging yourself? Take a good look at yourself. It's not that God won't love you anymore, but Jesus has come to clean the temple. Only the King coming and our allowing a place for the King can truly clean our temples. He's the one who successfully drives those things out that corrupt us. We give place to them. You can't get rid of them. That's why Jesus needs to be acknowledged as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and your King. You see, one of the things about cleansing of the temple, and we can use it as a picture of our own lives because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, is that God wants us to know life. But we can become suited to the tastes of this world to such an extent that it becomes detrimental to our physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual health. We can get terribly involved and comfortable in the tastes of the world that is around us. It doesn't send you to hell. It's not that this world will send you to hell, but I tell you the truth, you might just get to heaven a little bit quicker, I don't know, than you thought you were going to. And the Lord Jesus comes, and he says, I want to come and cleanse the temple of your life. And the issue may be one of life and death physically with things like habits, but a lot of times it's spiritually, emotionally, intellectually. Sometimes he deals with the physical things in our lives, but I'm not primarily talking about those physical things. I'm talking about your spiritual life. and the cleansing of your spiritual life. The subject is spiritual. Whether we will allow the King, the Son of God, Jesus, to drive out that which steals from us, those things that destroy us, those things that we indulge ourselves in, and all the time feeling relatively immune to it all, and the Lord Jesus comes to afflict the comfortable. Sometimes he comes to get in your face. Maybe this is the time that you need to take inventory in your life, a time to look at exactly what you've been doing with your life. There may be some things which we say, well, I don't need to do this, but I really enjoy it. But maybe it's destroying you. Think about it. This message does not end with the cleansing of the temple, though. After Jesus cleaned the temple, it says, and you need to, in fact, let's read it together. Verse 14 in the Matthew passage, the very last verse. Here we go. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Let me say those words. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. This Jesus who came to afflict the comfortable came also to comfort the afflicted. Jesus comes in as judge to correct and expel that which steals and indulges the flesh at the expense of life and health. Jesus comes in also to heal, to free, to deliver, comes to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. It's interesting to me that if you look at this scripture, it's the blind and the lame, which is so perfectly describes all of us. A lot of times, we can't see or we can't walk. We can't get from where we are to where we wanted to be very easily. We just don't see very well at times. And what we don't see is the thing that is killing us. We can be blind physically, but a lot of times we can be blind spiritually or emotionally. That thing that's wringing the life right out of us, we can't see it. At other times, we don't see how we could ever change in terms of our lives. I can hear somebody here, you know, and I inside right now saying, you know, I would like to break with that habit, but I don't see how I can do it. I don't see how I can do it. It's blindness. There are people here with bad relationships, bad situations, bad circumstances in their lives. Some of us think there are situations, circumstances that seem to be leading us down a road to destruction, and your heart's crying out, not because you're arguing about how good you are, but because you are weak and powerless to seem to do anything about it, and you don't see. I don't see how I can get from where I am to where I really want to be with my life. You can't see, and you can't walk. That means you're blind and you're lame. And you're situationally blind and lame. We are blind and lame a lot of the times. Lameness is the thinking that says, how can I get, I know where I want to be, but I can't get there. I'm crippled. I'm powerless to do anything about it by my habit, by my attitude, by my circumstance, by my situation. I want you to know that King Jesus comes not only to cleanse the temple of your life, but he also comes, if any blind or lame people come to him, he says, I will heal you of that. You see, there are basically two messages here. There are two messages in the times that he went to the temple to cleanse it, a time of opportunity and a time of accountability. There were two things that were going on. There was a cleansing going on, but there was also healing going on here. And they are companion to one another. The first is Jesus comes in at moments that are bringing an end to something. We don't recognize it, but it's the end. This must be the time that things change. This must be the time that things are taken care of, because there's not going to be another time. That's a sense of accountability. But coupled with that message is that Jesus said, but I'm here to make it possible that change can happen. Jesus comes to resolve issues. He comes to settle things. I love the Lord Jesus because he hates the things that will destroy me. He does not come to whip me. It was not the worshipers that Jesus took the whip to. It was the system of the world that catered to the flesh. It was the system of the world that gave place to the thieves, and he drove them out. If we will let him, if we will let him come to anything that is in us that caters to our own indulgence or our own convenience or caters to the gods of this world, and we let him drive them out, he will set up his kingdom in the temple of God that is you. If we let him drive out anything of the thief that finds place in our lives, he will succeed, and where the king is, there is the kingdom of heaven. But we need to understand a great truth about repentance here as well, because some of this has to do with us. There are two kinds of sorrow in this world. There's the sorrow of the world, which is sorry but doesn't change, and there's the sorrow for our sin, which is willing to change. The sorrow of the world works death instead of life, but there is a godly sorrow that works repentance. Now, some people think that they are repentant, but in fact, they are just sorrowful, as the world is sorry. That is, they want forgiveness, but they don't want to change. I mean, everybody wants forgiveness, but not everybody wants to change. They're like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus told him, sell everything you have and follow me. And the young man had money, and it was his God. And so the story said that he went away sorrowful. He had the sorrow of the world that led him down to the road of destruction instead of following Jesus and receiving life. We can be duped by our own desires, affections, what we make as gods in our lives. We can be sorrowful as the world is sorrowful, and then a few days later, or for some it's as soon as you leave church, we will be back doing exactly what we were sorry for the day before. That's not sorrow unto repentance. That's sorrow of the world. Now, our salvation is not dependent upon our works. But Jesus comes to the temple of your soul, and he wants to purge out that which kills and steals your spiritual life. And Jesus comes to the shrine of your body, where he wants the worship of God to be clean. He says, I came to make you a house of prayer, but you have let it become a den of thieves. He calls us for that ultimate in spring cleaning. But he will give you all the help you need to get the job done. If you're blind and you can't see your way clear of it, he will give you sight. And if you're lame and you don't know how you're going to get from where you are to where you want to be or need to be, how are you going to get there? He will heal you. And you'll find that he's coming not only to change you a little bit, but he's there to make you a palace fit for a king, the temple that is you. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of this life, sometimes we need to have you come and afflict us with our comfort because we're in a wrong place. And sometimes you come to comfort the afflicted and to heal us so that we can get to that place where we need to be. Lord, this week during Holy Week, speak to all of us concerning our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.